Jane waited expectantly, wondering if the man was going to punish her, as his tone implied, or fuck her exposed pussy. Surprisingly, he did neither. Rather, he reached over and grabbed her right-ass cheek. "This is what I'm talking about, Jane. You have a full figure. Pretty now, but if you don't watch it, you'll be a fat ass by the time you're 30. He paused and slapped the right side of her leg at thigh level hard enough to make the girl gasp and lean forward on her tippy-toes. "Same thing here. If I could offer you any advice, it'd be to stop being so lazy, plain Jane. You've had enough of a challenge without being fat. Trust me." The girl did not reply, although her face flushed beet red. She often wondered about the shape of her lower body. The man seemed to intuitively know this, just as he knew the term plain Jane hit home. Her hands clenched and unclenched behind her shaking legs. She was starting to suffer now, her lower back aching and her thighs straining hard in the uncomfortable position. She tried to bend slightly at the knees, but Mr. Black's sharp tone brought her back to attention. "No. Lock your knees." Instinctively, she responded, straightening and locking her knees. Her whole body was trembling in fear, anticipation, and the stress of holding the unnatural position. She heard footsteps as the man slowly walked around her and towards the desk. His languid pace spoke volumes. He knew she was suffering already, and each purposeful footstep marked another second of pain for the girl. She clenched her teeth against the urge to whimper. A very faint sliding sound met her ears. The whoosh of it was so slight, and the blood pounding in her ears so loud, she thought she had imagined it. A quiet clacking and then a whoosh again. She finally realized he had opened the desk drawer and taken something out. He slowly walked back to her. "Jane, do you recall me asking you to leave nothing on your body?" The man's voice was quiet, his tone even. "Yes, sir." Jane tried to match his tone, but was unable to do so with the now intense pain coursing through her thighs and back. She was visibly shaking from the strain of it. "Did you follow these instructions to the letter, Jane?" Again, the quiet, even tone. "No, sir." She heard the sound of the stroke before she felt the sting of it. With a searing flash, pain blossomed across her upper thighs. An involuntary cry was ripped from her as pain crashed through her body. She staggered forward slightly, pushing the chair out of the taped square. Sweat trickled down her chest and tickled her chin. She let the tears finally come, pooling in her eyes and then rolling down her forehead before dripping onto the seat of the chair. Mr. Black spoke again, his tone almost bored. "Pull the chair back into place. Don't break position again. Every time you do so, we start over." With a barely audible whimper, the girl shuffled backwards, dragging the chair slightly back. She felt the feet of it bob gently as they were pulled over the surface of the tape, and she stopped when the chair was presumably back in place. "Good girl. Why did you fail to follow instructions? Was I unclear? Did I fail to communicate somehow?" And again the searing pain as he placed the second blow right underneath the first. "God," she cried out as the blow landed. This time she was able to keep the chair in place, but had she not been bound, she would have likely collapsed. Her neck and shoulders now ached with the strain of the position, and her thighs were absolute agony. He was using something long and rigid. James had never used anything but his hand or occasionally a belt. The pain of that paled in comparison as to what Mr. Black was doing to her. He was right. There was intent to this. She shuddered and her breath came in ragged gasps as she answered the question. "No, sir, you were clear, sir." She was starting to actually cry a bit, and the words spilled clumsily from her lips. The hiss, the crack, and the searing pain came again. God, she actually screamed from the pain this time. The chair was rattling slightly against the polished concrete as she shook from the absolute agony she was in. Her thighs burned like fire from the strain, and the stinging blows were almost debilitating in their intensity. She had never suffered in this way. "Then why, Jane?" Hiss, crack, and more fire bloomed across the back of her thighs. He was working his way down her upper thighs, starting right under her ass and working the soft, delicate back of her legs. Oh, God, no, she screamed again. She could barely control herself, and she felt like she would involuntarily rear back, toppling herself in the chair she was bound to onto the hard concrete. The man placed his fingertips on her trembling back. The almost imperceptible touch grounded her and brought the shaking, whimpering girl back into the moment. Tears were streaming down her face, some pooling on the metal chair, others running into her dark hair, matting it to her forehead. She felt snot bubbling in her nose and was oddly ashamed at the thought of this man seeing her in this state. She knew she couldn't take it. Her shoulders felt like they could rip out of their sockets, and her legs were on the edge of collapse. She wondered what would happen when her body gave out. Would she fall back like a turtle? Land on her ass wrapped around this fucking chair? The thought almost made her giggle. Jane, I know you think you are not going to make it. Right now you're wondering if you could possibly fall back, allow yourself to collapse, something like this. That is not going to happen. We are going to finish this exercise one way or another. He paused before he continued, and her whole body tensed, expecting a blow. None came, however. He simply continued talking in the same maddeningly quiet tone. Collapsing is a form of quitting, a form of escape, and that is not something afforded to you in this moment. If you fall, step back, or move in any significant way, we will start over. You have been bound this way 12 minutes. I promise you I have had sessions that have lasted for hours. You are free to scream, to beg, to threaten, to cry. I don't care. However, you will not end this session. I will. Hiss. Crack. Another blow landed, and this time she shrieked in the pain. Her stomach pressed down involuntarily against the cold, hard metal, but grit and sheer force of will allowed her to maintain her position. I asked you a question, Jane. Hiss. Crack. Another tortured scream was torn from the girl. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I wasn't following instructions. I was thoughtless, negligent. But please, please, sir, please. The last word wound itself into a strangled scream as another blow landed. The back of her thighs were aflame, and she was sobbing and gasping for breath. The shaking chair rattled on the polished concrete like a machine gun. It was almost humming with its consistency as her muscles bounced and twitched under the misfiring nerves. Exactly, Jane. I can live with stupidity. No creature has the luxury to choose its intellect. However, all of us have the obligation to try, Jane. I expect focus. James expects focus. Can you focus your tiny brain on the basic tasks that I assign you? Can I trust you in this moving forward? Hiss. Crack. Hiss. Crack. Hiss. Crack. He landed 3 sharp blows, one right under the other, down the backs of her legs. She shrieked again, and the thrumming of the chair intensified. It sounded almost like a hum. She was trembling so intensely. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Jane's words barely audible now. Her face was streaked with tears and sweat. She felt a slimy wetness running out of her nose to join the liquid pooling on the chair. The girl was in too much agony to be embarrassed now, and she felt like she was baking under the lamps. She could feel a wet sheen of sweat covering her body in a film. All she felt was physical pain and the panic at the thought of what was coming. She just wanted this to end, to satisfy this man so the pain would go away. Hiss. Crack. The blow that landed was by far the most severe stroke. It landed just above the back of her knees, and the agony of it burned like lava through her body. Another shriek pierced the air, bouncing around the concrete room with nowhere to go. I asked if you could focus your tiny brain on the tasks at hand. Judging by the response, I would say that answer is no. Hiss. Crack. Another staggering blow. The girl had never experienced such agony. She had never imagined it could even exist. In a panic, she screamed out to the man, "Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. I will focus. Please. Please. Please." Hiss. Crack. Scream. Please, sir. Please, sir. Please, sir. Let me show you. Let me show you. Hiss. Let me show you. Crack. Another strangled scream followed by agonized sobbing. Loud, ragged sobs were coming from the girl, and her body heaved with the effort of it all. Still, she held her position, not daring to move and rewind this ordeal back to its starting point. Silence filled the room, broken only by the gentle humming of the chair rattling on the floor. She wasn't in agony. She was agony. Her shoulders, her back, her thighs. She only existed in that pain. There was no other part of her that felt real. There was no other part that felt connected to the world. Would you like me to release you, Jane? Yes, sir. The response came out between agonized sobs. Bend your left leg at the knee so I can see the sole of your foot. Obediently, the naked crying girl obeyed. Hiss! Crack! This blow landed on the sole of her foot and pulled an animal-like shriek from the girl. She felt like she could be physically sick from the pain she was in. For a moment, she wondered if she would faint. Switch feet. Again, she obeyed, this time knowing what was coming. Her whole body tensed, and the blow that fell on the sole of her right foot pulled another tortured wail from her body. Switch feet. Hiss. Crack. Scream. 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 This went on and on until Jane's screams subsided to low moans. Oddly, she felt calmer. The pain was fading into the background, and her already limited view was blurred with tears. Sounds seemed muted, and even in the heat of the room seemed to be subsiding. Her body was still awash in agony, but it was a distant pain now. She felt detached, as if she were gently falling asleep in the snowbank. Hiss. Crack. This blow fell squarely across the meat of her pale-ass cheeks. She flinched, but barely made a sound. She heard the distant sound of the man's footsteps as he walked around to stand in front of her. She could see the black smudges of his perfectly polished shoes through the blur of tears, snot, and sweat caking her face. Her ragged gasps were subsiding, and now, and other than the gentle shaking, there was no indication that the girl was in distress. Are you going to focus? Mr. Black's voice was distant. The even tone was almost soothing to the girl. Yes, sir. Her voice was calm. Almost serene. Good girl. The man stepped back around the girl and laid another stroke on the girl's ass. Hiss. Crack. Jane shifted slightly, but made no sound. While here, you are not Jane. You aren't anyone. You are property. Do you understand? Hiss. Crack. Again, a slight shift, and possibly a small whimper, but nothing more. Yes, sir. What are you? Hiss. Crack. A slight moan before she spoke. Property, sir. Correct. You are object 801 until you leave here. There was absolutely no change in his voice as he spoke and swung the cane. Hiss. Crack. What are you? Hiss. Crack. Hiss. Crack. Hiss. Crack. He landed three harsh blows in rapid succession. The red welts immediately rising on the plumpness of her pale ass. The shaking intensified slightly, but nothing more. Property, sir. I am object 801. Her voice was flat, distant. She barely heard it herself. It was like listening to a recording of oneself through a tunnel. Stronger than I thought. His words were barely audible as he spoke. She heard a sliding sound and a click, and then felt something moving in her hands. She idly wondered at the moment. Am I doing that? With an abrupt motion, her hands were free, and she pulled them forward involuntarily. The movement and the resulting stabbing pain in her shoulders tore her out of the haze and back into the moment. Oh my God, she gasped as she fell to the floor, bracing herself with the palms of her hands on the seat. The pain was excruciating. Almost as bad was the fact that her face was caked with sweat, tears, and embarrassingly, the gooey output from her runny nose. She could barely see. Everything was a hazy blur. Trying to raise her hands caused her shoulders to shoot jets of pain throughout her body. She yelped and felt the chair start to slide forward slightly. In an almost, literally blind panic, she stilled herself. Even that slight movement sent more waves of pain running through her cramped muscles. How long was I on that fucking chair? 40 minutes or so. Mr. Black spoke quietly and dropped a handkerchief on the floor. It landed between her hands, so she looked at it dumbly. What the fuck? No, not telepathic. Just usually the first questions asked. Stand up and wipe your face. His voice was even, but she sensed something. He was testing her. Playing a game he thought she should lose. Despite his implications otherwise, she was not stupid. If her aching shoulders were any indication, it was going to hurt when she stood up. She guessed that he was hoping she would fail. Most likely so he could get her back on the chair. The thought of that filled her with sick dread, and steeling herself, she picked up the white cloth and raised herself upright. Despite expecting it, the pain almost dropped her to her knees. Her back, her thighs, her shoulders, all of them screamed in agony. She found herself in the position of having to force herself upright by degrees, each millisecond sending new waves of pain through her back and thighs. She was literally hurting herself as she slowly arose herself back into a standing position. She groaned in agony. With shaking hands, she raised the handkerchief to her streaked face. Even that movement was an exercise in agony. Her shoulder muscles screamed in protest as she slowly wiped her face. She cleaned herself as best as she could with the small cloth, finishing her work by brushing her hair back and straight with her fingers. The man smiled at the small show of vanity and held out his hand. Thank you, sir. She spoke softly as she returned the cloth. Perhaps she was imagining it, but she thought she saw a slight tug at the corners of his eyes. Just the smallest register of surprise. Another trap, she thought to herself. Obviously the man thought she wouldn't thank him. I need to focus. Perhaps smarter than I thought as well. He looked her up and down again before holding the handkerchief up and eyeing it with distaste. He turned his back, walking slowly over to the desk, holding the soiled cloth by just the smallest corner. The cloth fluttered to the metal surface as he released it with an almost visible sign of relief. What are you? Property, sir. Object 801, sir. Her response was immediate and calm, giving the intensity of the pain she was feeling. She had to resist the urge to rub her ass in the back of her thighs. They burned from the caning, and the welts had to be horrific. She felt like she could feel them distending from her supple flesh, catching the warm air with their fullness. With an effort, she stilled herself. Correct. My assistant informs me you made a mess of the showroom. Is this true, 801? Again, his voice was steady, but in the short time she was growing to know him. The bond was surprisingly intimate given their time together. Trap, she thought to herself in a wild panic. Her heart raced as she saw his eyes move back to the chair. What the fuck, her mind was screaming. Think! Think! She did not feel she could endure another session, and for a split second she thought about running. What the fuck is he talking about? The seconds ticked. 1, 2. Suddenly, mercifully, she remembered. Yes, sir. In my negligence, I left marks on your counter, sir. She looked down and spoke again. I was lazy and unfocused. A stupid cunt, sir. She wildly hoped that the self-depreciation and crudeness would be a sufficient barter for the delay in answering. Her eyes moved to the chair, and she felt like she might vomit from the thought of it being bound to again. The seconds ticked again. 1, 2. Her heart swelled with relief when he spoke. Definitely smarter than I thought, 801. I admire that as well as your willingness to recognize your own faults. His eyes walked up and down her naked form, and she found herself yanked back into the reality of where she was. Standing naked in front of a stranger. A stranger contracted by James. The single greatest deviant she had ever met to test her. No. Stress test her. She shuddered. The recent ordeal had momentarily distracted her from the reality of where she was at. She shuddered at what she saw in Mr. Black's face. Punishment? Humiliation? Sexual, maybe? Her mind wandered back to the answer she'd clumsily given at the beginning of the interview. No maybe about it. This guy is going to fuck me, and fuck me hard. She found herself growing wet at the thought of it. She would have kicked herself if she could. After a long, quiet moment, the man spoke. Rule 3. Unless instructed, you are to be on your knees at all times. What are the 3 rules? Show respect, sir. Obey all commands, sir. Remain on my knees unless instructed otherwise, sir. As demonstration, she lowered herself to her knees and looked down at the ground. Her thighs groaned in agony, but she was getting through it. She worked through the pain. Her every effort was to show compliance, avoid punishment, avoid the chair. Excellent, 801. There are cleaning materials upstairs. Make your way up, clean up your mess, and return to me. You have 7 minutes to comply. For every minute you are late, you will receive 5 minutes on the chair with 2 strokes every minute. 801 looked up to see him checking his watch. With one last wild look at the chair, she leaned forward on her hands and knees and began scrambling through the door. Her whole body ached, and the hard surface immediately took its toll on her knees. In a panic, she thought back to her session on the chair, to the agony she had felt when he told her that she was at the 12-minute mark. I could not be late, not by a single fucking second, she thought wildly. Her hands clawed at the doorknob, and she yanked it open, almost knocking herself back. She had never tried to open a door while on her knees, but she had to slide backwards on the concrete in order to get out. The pain in her shoulders and thighs was already beginning to be consumed by the pain in her knees, and to a lesser extent, her palms. The floor was unyielding, unforgiving. Its smooth, impenetrable surface reminded her of Mr. Black. She was making great time. Maybe a minute. She was crawling as fast as she could, ignoring the pain in her knees when she almost ran into the smooth metal surface of the elevator door. Fear mushroomed in her as she looked up and wildly clawed at the keyhole. Fuck. I fucking forgot the key. Fuck, 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 fuck. She turned and started crawling wildly back down the hall, only halting when she heard the ding of the elevator. She whirled around again as the doors opened and revealed the shopkeeper looking at her with an expectant gaze. Once again, she had lowered her head and began to crawl as fast as she could towards the door. Had it been 2 minutes? 3? She had no idea. Glancing up, she saw the elevator doors start to slide shut. A low mew escaped her mouth. This was it. If those doors closed, she was fucked. She would never get back and get the key in time. She was gasping now, her body covered in sweat, and she was certain she was going to badly bruise her knees. I'm not going to make it. She accepted the thought with dull resignation. A sob escaped her as she saw the crack between the doors slowly disappear. Suddenly, a door stopped. With smooth movement, they reversed their course. The widening crack brought her greater relief and joy than she had ever remembered at any time in her life. She redoubled her efforts and, with a wild lunge, plunged herself into the elevator. Looking up, she saw the shopkeeper towering above her, one hand on the door open button. Oh my God, thank you. Thank you. She started to cry as she spoke, the words spilling from her lips as the tears ran down her face. As the elevator rose, she repeated her mantra. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. She crawled forward and gently reached out to touch the shopkeeper's immaculately polished shoe. Gone was the humiliation of being naked in front of the stranger. All she could think about was the abject gratitude she felt for the woman's simple act of kindness. No. Shopkeeper's voice was sharp and halted 801's hand while still inches away from the woman. Looking up into her face, the naked girl lost yet another staring contest. Nodding her head silently, she looked down and lowered her hand. With that, the elevator dinged again, and 801 found herself crawling madly through the dimly lit store, desperate to complete her task. Most of the lights were off, but the counter was easy to see. There were paper towels and a spray bottle on the floor next to the counter. In a frenzy, 801 grabbed the cleaning materials and raised herself as far upright as she could while still staying on her knees. Focus, she thought to herself before she began. She needed to take her time here. A bad job would be worse than taking too much time. Another test. 801 sprayed the counter slowly and deliberately, looking up through the glass to see a clearly identifiable prints. Awkwardly, she bent her elbow around the top corner of the counter and wiped. With a curse, she realized that she had marred the side with her sweaty arms, and she rushed to clean that as well. Finally, she crawled around the front of the counter and finished up the other side of the top surface. Too much time, she thought wildly. As 801 finished up, she took an extra moment to check her work. Focus, she thought. Do this correctly. After she finished, 801 noticed an open wicker basket at the end of the counter. Despite the time, she risked a peek inside where she saw her clothes, purse, and jewelry. She looked at them for a moment before looking towards the door of the shop. Glancing back into the basket, she saw the yellow corner of James's note. She turned and headed towards the back of the store. Her wild, crawling return was uneventful. The elevator was closed when she got to the end of the carpeted hall, but this floor had a button. The elevator was empty when it returned, and she sucked wind during the brief respite of her descent. Her knees were red and sore, definitely going to bruise later. The crawl back down to the concrete hallway would have been brutal had she not been blind with panic. She barely recalled tearing open the door and the wild, mad journey on her hands and knees back to the square where she started. She knelt in the square, arms braced on her knees, elbows locked, staring straight down. Her breathing came in ragged gasps as she tried to replenish her oxygen-starved body. 6 minutes and 56 seconds. That's impressive. 801 started sobbing in relief. The tears streamed down her face and the sound echoed in the stillness of the room. "Thank you, sir. Thank you." Her voice was barely audible as she spoke. "Your gratitude is appreciated, 801. Let's finish the interview and get down to business."